Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be upon us so we can open our heart and our mind to listen to your message. Everything we do for your glory, Father. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. From everlasting. Today we're going to study the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2 to verse 5a. This Sunday is the first Sunday, and in the church calendar they call it the Advent, first week. The weeks of Advent very much prepare the mind of the people about Jesus Christ, Christmas Day. And usually you can see the theme throughout the month of December. The first Sunday is about hope. The second Sunday of December will be joy. And the third Sunday of December will be peace. And of course, the birthday or the Christmas Day will be the love. So we go through the whole series of Christmas to help us to remember how everything happened. So to pick the topic about hope, I pick in Micah chapter 5. Because Micah, the Bible calls him is a small prophet. And this small prophet grew up in the small town. So that reason why you see him very much. His book is very, very, very short. It's not that long. And it's kind of amazing. You know, he grew up in the chaos time. The kings of the Judah at that time, or the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom at that time, is in chaos. They no longer worship God. And the nation very much in chaos. And here, 700 years before Christ was born, okay, he prophesies about the Messiah will come to this land to change everything. It's kind of amazing because sometimes you think about, you know, you may have the problem to even to predict what's going on tomorrow. However, 700 years before Christ was born, he already talked about it, and it's so precise what happened. The verse I pick is in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from their own, from everlasting. So when you start in the book of Micah, especially in this passage, it basically Micah tried to tell in us there will be the ruler, and this ruler will be born in Bethlehem. And he talked about the ruler's eternal. He not just happened today or at the moment in time, but actually from the beginning of time, he's already there. And this Messiah, Jesus Christ, eventually we learn about it, is that ruler. Okay? So the ruler is born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are little among the thousand Judah, yet up you shall come forth to me, the one to be the ruler of Israel. If you study geography, the nation of Israel, you would find out there's two Bethlehem, believe it or not, two Bethlehem. One is belong to the area of Zebulun. You have to go back to the book of Genesis to understand this. And another one, second Jerusalem, is in the land of Ephrath. And Micah very, very specific when he mentioned the name of the town of Bethlehem. Because Jesus Christ, he was, you know, by the Holy Spirit, Mary, you know, with Mary, and he very much conceived in the womb of Mary in Nazareth. And so if you look at the map, Nazareth in the area of Galilee, and roughly about 7 kilometers or roughly about 3 or 4 miles from Nazareth, there is the town named Bethlehem. But however, Micah, he didn't mention about this Jerusalem close to Nazareth. He talked about Bethlehem close to Jerusalem. So he very, very specific, because initially when I read about this message, this passage, I'm thinking about, Jerusalem is only a few miles from Nazareth. But no, he talked about Jerusalem, Bethlehem, near Jerusalem in the land of Judah. So it's very, very long distance from where he conceived, Christ conceived. So it's kind of interesting when we study geography and put everything together in perspective on the prophet side. And at that time, a moment in time, the time of Christ was born. If you also study the population and geography, you would find out there is Rome, the population like 1 million people, the first time ever in the history, the city of Rome at that time is 1 million people. It's a big city. So the question we would ask, why he didn't talking about the big city Christ was born, but he's talking about the small town of Bethlehem close to Jerusalem, Christ was born, the Savior was born. So it makes me thinking about, well, maybe Micah, he's a small prophet, he grew up in a small town, so he prophesied about the small town stuff. But another thought, it kept reminding me, because sometimes the big event is not come from the big city. It may be from the small city. And sometimes we expect something had to be huge in order to be faithful and obedience to God. But sometimes the Lord may just bless us because, you have to start from the small group of people in order to expand the kingdom of God. Just like he teaches the lesson, he picked the very small town, Jerusalem, close to Bethlehem, close to Jerusalem, very, very small town. Everybody know the people in this town. And he used that as the place Christ was born. And the light of the world can spread out on over the world from that perspective. Okay? And I also had the chance to read the story about one of the evangelists, very, very famous during the 19th century. His name is Edward Payson. And this man, if you study up him, very, very famous. Okay? He's the huge name during the 19th century. And he had the evangelism event in one of the towns. And that evening, it's rain, storm coming in. And not only one person show up in his huge advertised evangelism event. Only one person show up. But however, he faithful, okay, he preached just like the place full of people, even though only one. And he led this one person to Christ. So when they interview this one person, I say, why? Because he said when he sit in the back, and he listened to the message from Payson. And he really go for it, full of the Holy Spirit. And he looked like he preached for 1,000 people. And when Payson talked about you, repent, he looked around. And he didn't see anybody except just him. So he said, well, maybe the message for him. And because of that, he come to Christ. But the story is not in of that. And this person later on becomes a huge name in evangelical world. Just thinking about it, it pays an at that time, during the rain and the hurricane and the storm. Only one person, and then he gets depressed. And I say, well, you go home, because I'm only preach for 1,000 people, but not for one. What would happen? But because of him and the people after that, the gospel spread all the way, not only for North America, but also in Europe, and eventually around the world. You had never known what would happen. But the lesson teaching us about faithfulness, about joy, about hope for the future. Secondly, you would understand the rulers is eternal. So the Bible talks, but ye, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are little among thousand Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one of ruler Israel. Okay? And listen to this passage. Whose going forth are from the old, from everlasting. So Micah not only just how specifically, you know, this Messiah was born in Bethlehem, close to, you know, to Jerusalem, but he's talking about this Messiah is not just, you know, born and then we can age him at that moment in time, 7 years later. But no, he's from the past, from foreverlasting. From the beginning of time, he was there. So if you study in the book of John chapter 1, he talks about in the beginning there's the Word. The Word is with God. Okay? And the Word is Jesus Christ. And the Word is God. So from the beginning of time, he was there. So we cannot just say Christ, he born in 2017 years ago. So he about 2017. But no, he even from before time, from beginning of time, he's already there. And he still continue, you know, present even at this moment in time. So our Lord Jesus Christ miraculously conception in Nazareth, but his birth in Bethlehem, close to Jerusalem, didn't mark the beginning of his existence. But the Bible talking about he once was told by the Jew, before Abraham was I am. So he even before Abraham. So it's talking about he from the beginning of time. But thirdly, we study about he's the ruler. And the Bible talks about, therefore, he shall give them up until the time she who is in labor has given birth. And a remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the end of the earth, and this shall be peace. In verse 3 to 5a, when you study this passage, you need to go back and study in the book of Genesis again. Remember when Adam and Eve, the fall of man, and God very much talked to the woman. Oh, of course, the Satan and say, hey, you know, the snake, you will be eat the dust. But here, the woman, you will stomp on the head of the serpent. So from the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, they already talk about the woman. Okay, and this woman will in labor and giving birth. And of course, the conceived of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit at that time. Okay, so it's fulfilled the prophet, not only just in the book of Micah, but it's also in the book of Genesis about Jesus Christ. So three things we learn when he's a ruler. What exactly is it? Number one, talking about he is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. The book of John chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 15, talking about what? He's a good shepherd. Okay? So if you have the Bible, go back with me on the book of John chapter 10, verse 11 to 15. Because sometimes we forgot who Christ is. And sometimes during the chaos of time or chaos of society or work or family or whatsoever, we forgot what exactly the shepherd. Verse 11 to 15, the Bible said, okay, but I want to read from verse 14. I am, is mean Christ, a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father know me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay. You have time, just read from verse 11 to 15. It's kind of interesting about the ship. The Lord kept blessing me. I had the chance to visit Australia, and we visit the sheep farm. It's kept very, very interesting. When I stand and my wife stand at the fence, and we saw like the sheep all over the place, like had to be thousand and thousand. And suddenly, you stand right there and you very much like observe, observe the sheep. And suddenly the sheep kept like move over and look at two of us. And the leader of the sheep, whoever, kept like walk close to the fence. And suddenly like thousand and thousand of sheep kept like observe us. You see like thousand and thousand eyes just look at us like this. And here we are, we're thinking about look at them, but turn out to be like thousand of them look at us. Just like, very, very interesting. But it's so interesting, and there is the shepherd, and he kept like blow the horn or something, the whistle, and suddenly the sheep kept turn around and look at him, and then he kept walk, and suddenly the whole herd of sheep like follow him. It's kind of amazing, because for such a long time, I'm not quite sure I understand this passage. Because, yes, I can use my imagination about how the sheep follow the shepherd, that kind of thing. Okay? But until I saw it with my own eyes, the whole movement of the sheep. But the second amazing thing, it's just like the shepherd, he knows the name of the leader of the sheep. So it just called, it's just like, for example, he called John Doe, and suddenly, one group of herb can kind of like follow him. And he called Jane Doe. And suddenly the second group can follow. Okay? And he called, let's just say, whatever the name. And then suddenly the whole group kept following him. So you can see like group one, and then group two, and then group three just follow. It's kind of amazing. And suddenly everything clicked and helped me to understand this passage. Because the shepherd know the name of his sheep. Okay? And when the sheep follow the shepherd, he feels safe. At the second point, the Bible talks about, because Christ, the Messiah, is his security. Because the sheep know the shepherd. He know when he follow the shepherd, he feels secure. Okay? He feels safe. And that because of the safety, so he followed the shepherd. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that shepherd for us. And if you study in the NIV version, it's a little bit more clear than the New King James Version. And it's talking about, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the end of the earth. Okay? In NIV, they use the word secure. It's talk about security. It's something about the trust between the sheep and the shepherd. And the same thing. Okay, we trust in Jesus Christ because we know he's a shepherd. We know he knows us by name. And he ready to lay down his life to protect us. And that's the security. Because you live in this world, and when you work in some time, yes, you may have 100 police try to protect you, but somehow the insecurity is still there. Okay? But the trust we have in Jesus Christ because of security. And thirdly, it's talking about he is our peace. Okay, he is our peace because he's telling us, a lot of people tell us, he is our peace. But not he just established peace or make peace or impact peace. He is our peace. So he become like part of us. The peace has to be from the inside, exposed to outside. Because sometimes you pray, Lord, protect me. Okay, give me peace. So sometimes in your mind, you still think about, yes, he will establish peace, security for us. But reality, he is the peace. It's just like his choice is love. Okay? So you find out like 700 years before Christ's birth, the little town Bethlehem was chosen as a town of his nativity. So 2,000 years later, 2017, in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Christmas. I want you to go back and have a hope. Because without hope, we don't have Christmas. So the next week, we need to understand about the hope and then the peace, the joys, and then the love. So we can celebrate Christmas on December 24th fully when we understand this. The people of Israel, they're in chaos. Okay? They have no future. And the message from Micah given them is a hope of the future. Okay? And when we celebrate Christmas, the same thing. We have to have that hope for the future, regardless where we are right now. Some of you still in the school, probably your hope will be someday you graduate. Okay? Some of you still in the process of marriage, the hope is the family, the marriage is strong, has security in Christ, have the joy and the love. Some of you still the kid, okay? You look forward to the future. Right now, you're not worried much, but the future is always bright. And some of you still as a parent, maybe single parent or both parents, same thing, okay? We look at the future when we celebrate Christmas before hope of the future. So that reason why the parent can sometimes work very hard and for the children, because the children is the future. And the same thing. Okay? So I pray to the Lord, same thing. When you celebrate Christmas, you have hope, you have peace, you have joys, and finally on the day of Christmas, you have love. So your life can be fulfilled. And you will be happy. Okay? Let us stand up. So let's read this verse together. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one, the ruler of Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. How do you personalize this verse for you? Okay, if Michelle say, but you, Michelle. Okay, or for me, it would be, but you, Hong San. Even though you are little among of the people in Houston here, but out of you, okay, yes. From everlasting. Can you personalize this verse for you so we can have hope for the future? Okay, let's read, but personalize it, okay? So yes, but if you couldn't, okay, let's read it. Okay. Yeah, because you can personalize if out of you, your descendant is maybe not you right now, but your children, maybe the one who would change the world. You see what I'm saying? Because out of you, your children are your descendant, and that one have the, you know, have the Lord, have Christ. And that one will change the world. Okay? Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you because we know you, our Lord Jesus Christ. You are eternal. You are our shepherd. You are our security. You are our peace. And through you, we have a hope. And through you, we live the life to prepare for the next generation, prepare the future. But through us, and by trust in you, our descendants can change the world to the better place. We love you. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be on the people in this room from now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.